This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Basketball madness comes to KC for the NAIA Men's College Basketball Championship March 20th through the 25th. Starts tomorrow at Municipal Auditorium. 16 teams. 15 games, one national champion. Bring the family for nonstop action and affordable tickets. Get yours today at NAIAHoops.com. Don't forget, if you're trying to fill a bracket for the NCAA Division I tournament, you can send a text in to 913-586-7965. We'll get you in the Cody Engel Bracket Challenge. Drew will send you a link. Also, if you were in our Bracket Challenge a year ago, you can just log back into the CBS Sports app and you can just... You're already in, right? Like, just submit your bracket. You're already in. We told you earlier, the winner gets free wings for a year from our friends over at Jefferson's. Plus, we'll have some other prizes we're putting together for the first place winner. But we appreciate those of you who joined. Don't forget, you have till, 11:10 tomorrow morning to actually submit your bracket. So I know you're like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Set a reminder on your phone or something, because been just there before where you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, I forgot.
Last year, we had about a third of the people didn't even, you know.
You might as well give it a shot, right?
There's no harm. Our guy Jack won last year. He's not even in it this year. He's opened up the championship belt to anybody.
I think he's in it.
I thought the winner last year said he was too busy.
No. Fantasy. You're thinking about fantasy baseball.
I apologize.
Jack, I don't want to say
Jack's
his last
back?
Name. Jack J.
I think he submitted it to
He's already in.
Back.
You're thinking of the
fantasy.
For whatever reason, The guy that won our fantasy baseball league won a nice chunk of change. He's not doing it this year. Good for everybody else. Fine.
I mean, it wasn't a keeper league, so it's not like he tossed his whole team back in.
I know. Anyway.
Still.
Hope to see you guys in our bracket challenge. Let's talk some NFL, though, because Diana Rossini gave an update today on the Vikings quarterback situation. She said that the Vikings have strongly considered and will continue to monitor Aaron Rodgers as an option, but they are not ready to commit at this point in the offseason. They understand this could lead him to signing somewhere else or retiring. J.J. McCarthy will be the starter. Spring, though, will be key for him. So a couple things. Let's start with just the McCarthy angle, then we can talk about Rodgers' future. Look, J.J. McCarthy's coming off an injury. We all know the Sam Darnold story. To me, the minute they did not franchise tag, Sam Darnold said that they actually do believe in McCarthy. I don't take it as negatively maybe as you do on like, oh, this is telling you're leaving, you know, you are leaving the door cracked open for Aaron Rodgers if McCarthy looks bad in the spring. I think that's fair, but I actually think the vote of confidence was them not bringing back Sam Darnold, man. That, to me, was their vote of confidence that J.J. McCarthy is who they're rolling with heading into next season.
I guess, but, like, if you are even entertaining, like, if you're just slightly entertaining Aaron Rodgers in any conceivable way, you are already, in my opinion, showing a slight lack of confidence in your guy. Like, well, no, we want to see what we got in him. What do you mean? You scouted him. You drafted him. You had him in your building for an entire year. I know he didn't get to play, but you knew what kind of player he was going into the draft before. You let the other guy go. And look, Darnold's a limited guy too, because Darnold can only do so much based on what he does. So like maybe they were willing to walk on Darnold more because he's not a future Hall of Fame quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is. And Kevin O'Connell salivating at the idea of what Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Aaron Jones would all look like. And he's trying to figure out if he can get away with it, or ownership's trying to figure out if they can get away with it. Maybe it's not just him. But if O'Connell is saying, if it's him, that's a terrible sign, because I think he is one of the 5 to 7 best coaches in the entire league. I understand why Aaron Rodgers wants the Vikings. If I were Aaron Rodgers, Vikings are retired. I'm not going to the Giants. I'll just quit. I'll quit football before I go play for the Giants.
Now, in fairness to the Vikings, Steiner Rossini is saying like they have strongly considered Aaron Rodgers, but they're not ready to commit to him at this point. It's not saying like, you know, they're gonna make a decision on Aaron Rodgers soon and decide, you know, they're just leaving the door cracked open, I think, to determine how strong of a veteran backup they need. You know, whether it's a health reason, whether it's performance reason, like, are they fine just bringing in a Carson Wentz type, or do they need an Aaron Rodgers type in the building to really push JJ McCarthy? I don't read into it quite as negatively as maybe the situation is worded and you took it. I will say what you said about Rodgers, though. The Steelers should just set a flat out deadline for Friday.
And they just move on.
Say,
otherwise,
Friday, we need to know, man. If not, we're done. And then see what happens. If
they could still sign Russ. Isn't he on the street still?
Russ, if they want to go back that route, yeah, they could.
I mean, that's better than Mason
Russ,
Rudolph. Come on.
Carson Wentz. There's these other guys that are not exciting. You know, I don't think they're going to pull a trade for Kirk Cousins, but like, you know, that those are options. At some point, you can't just drag this on forever in the offseason. But yeah, Rodgers, you have Justin Jefferson and Addison and Kevin O'Connell. Of course, he would love to go to Minnesota. I also think the Steelers is still a really good spot for him, considering who he was last year, which was, I know some people disagree with us on the text line whenever I say this, he was a below average quarterback last year. That's what Aaron Rodgers was. He's still, of course, a Hall of Famer. He had some unbelievable years in the league, but he is an average quarterback at best right now in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's that, you know, like, yeah, at best, that's fair. I don't know that, and look, his numbers, and people have pointed this out, were similar to that of Patrick Mahomes, but look, if you just look at stats and that's your only determination for whether or not you think a quarterback's good or not, well, then I guess Bo Nix is as good as Patrick Mahomes. And you and I both know that's not true, and I think intelligent people think that that's not true. Aaron Rodgers did not look comfortable. He's not looked good, and he's 40 years old. And so I just don't think that you want to do that game again. I read this all, and maybe I'm just like way too low. I read this all as a massive lack of confidence in JJ McCarthy. Because if I were them right now, anytime the next interview I do, I'd be like, no, he was always our guy from day one. And they'll say something like that now. But the fact that Diana Rossini, who's very dialed in, is saying, oh no, they're still entertaining that. They just want to watch JJ McCarthy do what? Run a couple laps in May and throw some balls in shorts to Justin Jefferson and make a decision on whether or not they want Aaron Rodgers. That seems like a wild way to operate.
Yeah, I think this is what's fun about this is like I think you and I are just taking the report differently. Like Yahoo Sports literally on the same quote of Rossini, even like their headline is Vikings reportedly out on Rodgers, committed to JJ McCarthy as team starter. So other people are taking it as if they're saying they're out on him, basically without embarrassing the guy kind of thing. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you'll end
up. I guess Rossini did not say out. Like I know that like one of the reports said out. She specifically said they are essentially in a, she said they're not in or out is the exact way she described it. And instead they're kind of in a no man's land of, you know, what we're going to do, right? What are we going to do? And so I think they're trying to evaluate it. I don't think that they're dead set on JJ McCarthy. And maybe it's because they didn't get to see him practice this year. I don't know. Could be the case, right? Certainly could be. Maybe they got a
still
full
coming
year.
Off an ACL injury.
He was never going to play for the Minnesota Vikings this year based on the way Sam Darnold did.
Does this make you feel, I don't know if you feel that. So Tom Pelissero actually just a couple hours ago reported the Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls on JJ McCarthy, telling other teams they're moving.
I did see that.
Yeah. That should make you feel a little bit better about the situation there. Just, I'm not saying that JJ McCarthy's going to be great, but just that, look, teams have called because why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you call and find out?
That points out that other teams are thinking the way I'm thinking, which is they're not totally sold, and they're like, is he available? If you guys are going Aaron Rodgers, are you interested in moving from J.J. McCarthy?
The full Tom Pelissero report, Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls on McCarthy, telling other teams they're moving forward with him as their quarterback. The team plans to still add a veteran, but they're not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time, which is, that part is what Diana Rossini was saying as well. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. That's from Tom Pelissero. It's going to be one to watch.
Rodgers
for
doesn't
sure.
sign unless he's guaranteed the starter spot, right? He doesn't agree to come in and be J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, I'd quit before I mean, for him, he's never not been a starter since he was backing up when he was, you know, 3 years into the league for Brett Favre. So he's been a starter every single day since then. I can't imagine he'd take that job. This is not like, I don't think Russell Wilson should take a backup job either. Either I'm the starting NFL quarterback and you're promising me at least from day one I'm the starter. Maybe I don't get to keep the job, but at least day one I'm the starter, or I'm just going to quit football. Like, I mean, if you've had that kind of career, you know, you shouldn't be backing up. You should just walk away if you don't have it anymore. If all you're good for is backing up J.J. McCarthy, a guy who has never played a single down in the NFL, well, then you're done anyway.
Our tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. You caught some of Carrington and Rob yesterday as they were talking about Kansas and just, frankly, how they're perceived based off of what we've seen from some other coaches that have been around for a while, and where they're at as a 7th seed. We know it's the worst seed under Bill Self, but a little bit of perspective behind that.
Yeah, I actually thought it was a really good point from Carrington. An MU fan all the same, by the way. He was patting himself on the back for that because at least he was giving an honest moment, which I think is actually good. He had pointed out something I hadn't thought too hard about, but also like kind of in your back of your brain realized, it's been a tough year for Kansas fans. It has not been a fun year. I've got a couple of friends. We're like in a group chat. One is an Arkansas fan. One is a Kansas fan. And I said, oh, you guys are going to have to be enemies for the next couple of days. And the Kansas fans' response to that was, I hope they mercy kill the end of this season. As in, I don't care how this game goes. Finish this stupid thing off so I don't have to see it anymore. And what it made me realize is the reason why Kansas fans feel like that, and what they probably should realize more, is if this is the basement, this is better than not just like every other team's basement, like Missouri's or anything else. We know it's better than theirs or Kansas State's, which is what Kansas pointed out. It's better than the other Blue Bloods' basements. It's better than Duke's, North Carolina's. Who do you consider? UConn? What are the Blue Bloods in your mind? Those are it, right?
Yeah, Kentucky. You say Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's better than theirs. All four of those teams have missed the tournament multiple times in the last 15 years. They have been worse or the same as a 7 seed. They've been a 2 seed and knocked out by a 15 in that amount of time. Bill Self's floor to this point, if this is truly the floor, is even better than the Blue Bloods. And I actually think that that speaks to maybe the level of talent he's been able to obtain.
Yeah, that's a perspective we've handed out a few times. I mean, just the hat. How many teams in this year's field in general, and looking at whether you were left out or not, but would kill to be a 7 seed every single year? I know not Blue Bloods, but in general, how many would kill to be a 7 seed every single year? And this is quote unquote rock bottom, you think, at this point in time? It is always the perspective and frankly how spoiled Kansas has been with what they've been as a program, and certainly what they've been as a program under Bill Self. With that said, I still expect them to win tomorrow, right? Even though it's been, and I know there's some fans that are like, hey, just end the season. I hear you. You still want to win a tournament game. You don't want to be embarrassed by being one and done in the NCAA tournament, whether you're a 2 seed, a 7 seed, or a 10 seed. I don't care. You don't want to be one and done. But for the record, we'll talk more tomorrow. I think both MU and Kansas are winning their first games tomorrow, one in Wichita, one in Providence, Rhode Island as well. So, I think that's a fair way to put it from Carrington, though, looking at where everybody's at. Next year, looking further ahead, clearly it's pretty obvious they have to find a new strategy and how they go about the transfer portal and things like that. So
maybe
this doesn't happen again.
Maybe they had a bad year in the transfer portal. Maybe the strategy's not bad. They just missed.
They had a bad year. They also have missed on some recruits, too, the last 2 years as well.
Don't they have one of the best?
Depending on who you look at. Number one recruit. So my guess is they will not be a number 7 seed in the NCAA tournament next season. I would bet quite a bit of money that they're better than that. The history would tell us that as well. I don't think this is like Bill Self just forgot how to coach all of a sudden. It is weird, though. After the dust has settled of a regular season, Missouri is a 6 seed and Kansas is a 7. Like, we thought these teams were miles and miles and miles apart. They're actually overall by the seeding ranking 5 spots different.
Are we going to get you and Carrington on a who goes further in the tournament bet? Feels like they might go the same length.
I offered it before, and he didn't want to take it. Remember, I told you.
I think that you were giving him too hard of a time for a guy who would not take a bet from him before. I think you guys were in the same boat.
We don't have to rehash this. You know? Cody likes poking the bear on this one. So
I honestly believe it. I'm not actually poking a bear. I believe it.
Two different scenarios. So you're comparing. So for those that don't know, by the way, the background real quick. So January, maybe mid-January.
Yeah, like when Kansas and Missouri played the first time.
Well, no. The offer we were talking about now.
Yes.
In January, I think.
Sometime.
Karen and we were like, hey, do you want to take a bet on who will go further in the tournament? And at that point in time, I said, well, I think he said he wanted to see the path first, right?
The matchups, he wanted to see the bracket as it laid out.
Yeah.
Now it's pretty much the same.
And because he was feeling very, very good about them end of January, as he should have been at the time. You're saying that in December, I think it was when they played. Yeah. When December, on a Friday, he came in here the day before KU was supposed to play MU, and he offered me, I don't even remember what the point was.
I wanted a bet on just whatever the spread ended up being. Cody, we didn't know the spread at the time.
Cody wanted me to blindly bet on a spread of a game that could have been a worse number than the number I could get 24 hours later, and I refused. You're saying that's the same thing.
It is, because you don't know the seedings or the matchups.
I don't even know who they're playing, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's some similarity to it, but I think it's a little bit different. He's also the one that approached me about the bet, so that's the difference.
I think you guys should do
that. I never approached
him
about the bet either time.
Now knowing that they could potentially play each other, I think that this is like...
I'll still make the bet with... If he wants to make the bet that Missouri goes farther, I'll still do it.
There's a pretty decent chance they just go the same distance. They might both be one.
There's a very good chance they're both one and done.
I'll also be honest. I think KU might have a better chance to get to the Sweet 16 than Missouri does. So I feel like I'd...
Yeah, I don't. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the
supporter. I might be more willing to make that bet.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about the path for both and like give our quote unquote final predictions of how far we think Kansas and Missouri are going to go and everything. The brackets are determining that. We've put in our brackets. I think Cody, I think you submitted your initial one. I have. I might tweak it. But
yeah,
I've submitted mine.
I wanted to get it in case I forgot. You know, I
well,
do have.
Yeah,
my,
you make sure you have.
Yeah, I've got picks in for every single thing.
True.
I reserve the right to alter or change.
Dude, I've changed
my
three times already. I've second guessed myself three times on this bracket. It's annoying.
Tonight's the night for research, right? My kid doesn't have dance. I can focus up. I can take a look at this stuff. We don't have anywhere to be. Wednesdays are the lightest night of the entire week for me. So I gotta, that's my best chance.
Tonight I plan on watching.
Great podcasts.
I think the Xavier Texas game could be good tonight. Like, I know the last night's 11 seed game sucked. It was a domination, but I actually think Xavier Texas could be a really, really good game. I have no idea about the 16 seeds. Let's be real. I hope it's another good one, but I have no idea.
Hope it's another buzzer beater.
I have not finished my bracket yet. I am still working through the first round because that is the most difficult part of the entire thing.
You're really taking your time on it. That's good.
Yeah. I also haven't spent, it's not like I've dedicated time and I'm like, man, I really don't know what team to pick.
But you've also watched way more college basketball than either of us to this point.
I think that's fair.
Basketball has almost exclusively been limited to Kansas, Missouri, K-State, and UMKC. And they didn't even make the tournament. So
you guys also only make one bracket, correct? You're not those people that
make more than one.
Did you really?
Okay, here we go.
This is not you guys.
You
guys are so
just
wrong.
Just one bracket is all you need. You can't tell me that you picked an upset on bracket three.
This is where you guys get it all lost in this, and you try to conflate everyone's decision based on this. This is where everyone is wrong. I play in brackets to win. So I enter a number of different brackets. I have one honor bracket in which I am held to the picks that I make. That'll be, in this case, the CBS one. But if I enter a different bracket, I don't just pick the same teams. That's not a good philosophy. I enter brackets in a lot of different ways with a lot of different national champions across a number of different things, but I am held to one bracket.
How can you enjoy that though? Because in one bracket, that pick helped you. In the other one, it screwed you over. Then you're rooting against your own bracket.
Honest to God, I don't even truly evaluate a bracket until we're at least in the Sweet 16. Yeah. And then by then, you've already decided the one bracket that has any hope. are dead. You're just rooting for the one thing. I don't loudly proclaim I got the final four here. It's just like, well, this bracket's good and I hope it keeps staying.
Okay, so I'm gonna hold this to you. Let's say you have Missouri going to the Sweet 16 in your honor bracket, the main one that you have them going to the Sweet 16. You have Kansas going to the round of 32, losing to St. John's, and then St. John's beats Missouri. But let's say Drake in your other bracket beats Missouri and they make it to like the Elite Eight. You can't say that you had them going to the Sweet 16.
He's saying he doesn't do that. I'm saying I am allowed to enter as many brackets as I want. I don't get braggadocious about selecting.
Yeah, he's saying he doesn't do that.
There's one bracket that you hold all of your
bragging rights as far as I correctly predicted this team. By the way, I don't even brag about a bracket anymore. I don't even know any of these players most of the time.
I'll be honest. I think you probably are this way now. Like, we do the bracket. I'd rather just bet on five or six different games.
I enjoy
betting individual games because that's a totally different strategy, right? Picking a bracket is way different than picking somebody to cover a spread or whatever.
Yeah.
Completely different. Those are just two different thoughts. But if you're submitting a bracket, please join our bracket challenge
as well.
And
if you're not getting the text messages, because we've had this multiple times, if you have Twitter, then DM me and I will send it to you. I haven't had a problem doing it.
Slide into Drew's DMs. He enjoys it.
Go ahead and follow me too.
At Drew B. Nix. Drew wants some followers out of this thing. At Drew, the letter B.
Yeah, Nix. This one person, yeah, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe
some
it's
people are getting it clearly because people have been joining. I mean, we're over 300, I think.
I send the exact same text every single time, essentially.
I don't know.
Will you guys watch the game tonight, though?
Oh,
I started, so I caught
the end of the other one because I realized it was close and I wanted to see it, so I got to watch the game-winning shot, which was fun. And I started on the UNC game because I was curious how they're going to play because they were one of the biggest entering the tournament storylines, so I was interested. I turned it off after about 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's nothing to see.
10 minutes into the first half, and I was no longer watching UNC and San
Diego State.
all
you needed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said this before. I will not stick with a bad game just because it's the NCAA tournament.
Especially first four, too.
I will check out. If that's all you got, it's Netflix time. Like, I'll move on. Look, if there's other games, I'll just go to a different game. Yeah. Yeah. But if it's just garbage, we're done here. Like, I'm not watching any more of your horrible basketball game. And it was so clear that they were going to run them out of the building. I think at one time in the second half, I was like, let's see if San Diego State made it close. I didn't even tune into the game.
Yeah.
I just did the score update on my phone. Emma, my wife, had said, hey, do you need to put that on? Because I was like, I wonder how that game is. So they're down by 30. No. I do not need to put that on. We may continue to watch whatever we're watching.
Yeah. No, I'll probably watch the early game too, but it's just different. You know, hopefully it's as competitive as the other one. That turned out to be an awesome finish. And
I think it was some sort of quick thinking. He said that's one of the best finishes in NCAA tournament history. Like moments. And I was like,
because it's a first four game.
It can't be as high as others.
Between 216.
From a last minute shot, it's one of the crazier finishes to a game. I'll give you that. Like,
one of the craziest
finishes we have seen. Is it one of the best moments?
No.
First four cannot be a best moment of NCAA
between
history.
216.
It just can't. No. Now, that happened in a Final Four or national title. I mean, it skyrockets to one of the coolest moments ever.
Oh, here it is.
Elite Eight or better, it's one of the biggest tournament moments of all time.
Carrington said last night, it won't be treated as such because of the teams and situation. I didn't get that, but it was one of the tourney's greatest buzzer beaters.
It was one of the better buzzer beaters. If we're just talking about like the actual time left on the clock and shot, yes. There's not many that can beat 0.7 seconds and a full court pass. But it's a first four game with 16 seeds. It's not like a top five NCAA tournament moment of all time.
Leitner didn't turn around and hit it, though.
I don't know if it's a top 10 buzzer beater.
I would have to go and really think about him. It's one of the cooler moments.
100%.
But let's be honest. Guys, next Friday, are we going to even remember last night? I'm sorry. Are we?
No. Unless Alabama State goes on to upset whoever they're playing, Auburn or whoever.
But we're not going to remember last night. Tomorrow, I don't know what it is. None of us know. There will be a game that has an amazing moment. I don't know what it's going to be, who it's going to be between. Everybody freaks out on the first session tomorrow if there's not great games and finishing. Oh my gosh, the tournament sucks. And then we wait till Friday, and all of a sudden Friday's incredible. Like, this happens every year.
Last year for sure.
Every year. People panic that they haven't had these games. You know, they just haven't been that much March Madness. The first, Creighton Louisville tip off first game tomorrow.
It'll be 20 points instead of everyone's expecting.
This isn't any good or whatever. It's like, calm down. There's how many games in the tournament? There's 68 teams playing. We'll be all right, okay?
Some good ones. Volume is your friend in this case.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There will eventually be a good game that comes down to the wire or goes overtime or a million other things because volume. And I get it. Like, are most of the games good? No, probably not.
Of course not.
That's not what I care about in March Madness. I just care that some are. And then who's I care about the upsets.
Who's the Jack Golkey of the tournament? That's what I want to know. Oakland's player year that beat Kentucky, couldn't miss. Somebody. There's a kid out there. We have no clue he exists. Okay? No clue he exists. By Saturday, we will know someone's name by heart that we have no idea.
Whoever that kid at High Point was, who was mean mugging after he hit.
That was funny. Yeah, I saw that.
High Point's going to beat Purdue, and that kid is going to be a big reason why.
Some people have been predicting Kentucky to lose again in the first game to Troy. But at Troy, I looked it up not to get too nerdy with it. Not to get too nerdy with it. I looked at they're 300th in the country in three-point shooting. I just don't know how you're pulling off an upset. I'm sorry if you're 300th, and I think it's 300th in three-point shooting. If that's what it actually is, I don't know how you're pulling off an upset. I'm sorry. I guess
for whatever reason,
like Oakland did it because they couldn't miss from three.
They had one.
Troy,
they had one player who single-handedly took over the game. Right.
Troy's playing the 3-seed Kentucky Wildcats. I think it's tomorrow or something like that. I believe that's the upset pick for some people. Yeah, now I got to look it up.
Oh, okay.
Troy is what? Did you find it before me?
They shoot 30% as a team.
Troy is 339th in the country.
How many
okay.
teams are there?
This is 364. Okay. They're not last. Last is Lindenwood out of St. Louis area. St. Charles, I think.
UMKC plays them every year.
It's going to be interesting to...
St. John's is 338, really?
I don't think Troy beats Kentucky, but Troy does.
They're really bad.
Troy rebounds offensively very well. They get a lot of second chance points, fortunate mistakes, defensively solid. But in terms of what Kentucky does, it would be, I don't know. When did
Kentucky's 25th in the country?
It would be worse than St. Peter's, or it wouldn't be worse than St. Peter's was. But
no,
but I think
it would be up there. It's hard to just formulate in my mind. Maybe I might be way off on this, but that Troy, if you're picking Troy to upset Kentucky.
They have the most unlikely three-point shooting day of all time.
Yeah, like a team that is 15th worst or whatever, 30th worst, I guess. 30th worst three-point shooting team in the country. They're the one that's pulling off the upset tomorrow? I don't know.
Kentucky would have to lose that game way more than Troy would actually be in it.
Yeah,
it'd
be more about Kentucky shooting 20% from 3.
When Kentucky lost to Oakland last year, that was just the goalkeeper kid just couldn't miss. Like, if you're Kentucky, you're just like, you got to be. Even last night, North Carolina, at some point, San Jose State was bad, but also... they're just one of those night. North Carolina, name? RJ Davis was 6 for 6 from three, a North Carolina tournament record. Like, what are you going to do?
Just take your loss.
Up next, guys, we will get to what's trending. We'll also talk a little bit more about the Royals a little bit. Plus, Jared Sutton joined us earlier today. He gave us a breakdown on the Missouri Tigers and what to expect against Drake.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We were talking about the NCAA tournament. That's where we start our What's Trending today. Tonight, couple games, Xavier in Texas, the 11 seeds in the first four in Dayton. That's the late game. The early game, another 16 seed matchup. Mount St. Mary's and American get things going tonight. Both games on True TV.
I'm sure I'll watch. The 16 seeds, I always wait a little bit longer.
After all the games last night and all post-game ended, True TV was airing episode 1 of Eastbound and Down.
Can you even air that on TV?
Some stuff was edited, but some of it was not edited as much as I expected. I'll just leave it at that.
Bold for TV, bro. I just assumed the only show they had was Impractical Jokers, a show I've never seen.
That's usually what they would always promote this time of year.
Yeah. Next up on What's Trending, as we'd mentioned earlier in the show, Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings doesn't look like it's going to happen right now. But Diana Rossini saying that they're not ruling it out either. They're not in or out on Aaron Rodgers, as she put it earlier today, saying instead they're going to wait to see a little bit on what they've got in J.J. McCarthy, wait a little further into the spring, might make a decision later. The other reporting is that Aaron Rodgers is in zero hurry to make his own decision, with retirement still a possibility.
All right. Keep watching. How many more weeks till he makes a decision?
Yeah. Month or two?
Yeah, probably. Also, we got some news from Netflix today that Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff will be on the next edition of Quarterbacks. They went away from the QBs a year ago, but this past season, remember, it's filmed from this past year, followed around Joe Burrow, followed around Kirk Cousins, who got benched in the middle of the season, Jared Goff. So it should be some interesting storylines, although Kirk Cousins for the second time is on the show, which I find interesting. I think he became very likable for a lot of people, and so my guess is that will continue. We disagreed on it, but I think Joe Burrow can change how people outside of Cincinnati view him, because I do think, whether we think it's true or not or agree with it, I believe the perception is that he's a little cocky and arrogant. You don't have to say that it's a negative thing, but I believe that's the perception. And then Jared Goff, I don't know much about him, honestly. So
one thing I will say about it is that the way the setup is, at least on that side, is that Kirk Cousins was really honest about the injury stuff the last time. I still thought a huge part of his problem this year was the inability to push off. I'm curious to see how much of the injury stuff he talks about this time. Next up in What's Trending, a couple of rule changes pitched in the NFL. The Packers have officially filed to try to ban the tush push, trying to eliminate that from, obviously, the Eagles' repertoire probably more than any other team, although there are other teams who utilize it. And there's been some other ones in there, too. Like, some of it is like off-season travel stuff, which is not as nearly as big of a deal. We know the owners' meeting usually takes place a little bit after the draft, where they're going to sort through it. The probably second most interesting thing in the trade department is the Lions proposed a change to the NFL playoff seeding that would say regular season records instead of division champs for seeding. We'll see if that gains any traction either.
Thinking of the Packers, Mecole Hardman signed a one-year deal with the Green Bay Packers. He will be with them this upcoming season, not coming back to the Chiefs. The Chiefs brought back Juju. They brought back Nick Bolton. They brought back Kareem Hunt. Not bringing back Mecole Hardman, at least for now.
Mecole found a new spot. Good for him.
Yeah,
Packers need a little bit of extra wide receiver help. Their guy's just getting dinged up a lot. Yeah. Just some depth. They need depth there.
That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Jared Sutton, former Missouri Tigers guard, he's a current scout for the New Orleans Pelicans, joined us to get a little perspective on Missouri and Drake, on Kansas and Arkansas, and the rest of the tournament field. And we also started our conversation asking just, hey, what teams has he been watching already? Is there a certain region he's headed to?
So it's interesting. I mean, I've been at WCC and ACC tournaments last week. Typically how we do it when the NCAA tournament starts up, we've seen all these players. We've been out on the road all year. So we do kind of a postseason organizational meeting with our front office. So we're actually going to be meeting as a group. And kind of like everybody, we're just going to sit and watch a lot of games together. We're going to meet in the morning and have meetings in the morning, and then we'll watch games in the afternoon and into the evening. So it's long days, but we're actually all together as a group. That's kind of how we've done it the last few years. And I actually kind of enjoy it that way. Instead of fighting around trying to get to certain games and regions, we're going to be like everybody and just watching games together. So I'm looking forward to that.
Since you were just at the ACC tournament, do you believe that North Carolina should have been in the tournament? Was the ACC any good?
No, I don't. I don't think North Carolina deserved to be in at all. I feel bad for West Virginia, and then their coach leaves, a couple days later. So that's a tough break. But look, I know they're talented, and we saw that last night. I wasn't really all that surprised to see. They have been playing better. But in terms of how we evaluate teams getting into the NCAA tournament and resumes and net and all these different ratings and factors of the data that go into making a selection, especially the athletic director being on the committee, I mean, that's not a good look.
No.
But they got in, and this is a part of it. It's a business. The NCAA looks at this as sometimes brand recognition, and it also comes back to talent and players, and those things do make a factor. These people on the committee are human, and it is what it is. But boy, did they look like they were motivated, and they definitely been hearing the noise, and they showed it last night.
We're talking to Jared Sutton, former Missouri Tigers guard, current scout for the New Orleans Pelicans. All right, how you feel about your Missouri Tigers? Sixth seed, they're going to play tomorrow night in Wichita against Drake. The Tigers, 6.5-point favorites. I don't have to tell you the story about Drake this year, and seems to be everybody's favorite team right now as well, heading into the tournament. Just what do you make of the draw and how the Tigers are playing currently?
Well, I'm glad Mizzou got the sixth seed. I did not want to see them on the seven line. And I think the Mississippi State win in Nashville, the SEC tournament, pretty much solidified that. Once I saw Ole Miss on the sixth line, I figured Mizzou was going to get the sixth as well, especially with the weight the SEC was carrying as a league from how the, you know, the selections were being made in those first few regions. The SEC was getting a lot of respect, which we thought would happen, and they get every team in, which was just fascinating to see the year that the SEC has had. In terms of where Mizzou sits, and then, you know, in terms of the matchup against Drake, and Mizzou's had a great year. And, you know, I think towards the end of the season, the three-game losing streak was tough, especially the Vanderbilt game that I think kind of shook Mizzou, and then they came out flat the very next game against Oklahoma. And I've never really seen Mizzou play flat really all year. They had games where maybe they struggled, like the Texas game, but never seen them come out and play as flat as they played against Oklahoma. And obviously a lot's been made of the defense, I would say, over the last month. I think they're a better defense than they've showed really the last month. I thought they were better, especially in the Mississippi State game, which I thought was just a gritty win with Mark Mitchell going down, Josh Gray going out. That was a tough win they needed to get. They needed to find a win, especially after a tough loss at home to Kentucky, who's playing better, and then knowing they were going to face Florida. And I thought they battled against Florida. And it was just good to see Tamar Bates play aggressively. I think that was a big factor I wanted to see in the SEC tournament was Tamar's so important for this team. And I thought he really showed well in both games. And they need that aggressiveness every game from here on out. I thought it was important that they sat Mark Mitchell. I think he could have played in the Florida game. I think he could have came back in the Mississippi State game, but it was more precautionary. So I think Mizzou getting to full strength was really important going into the tournament. Now they face a Drake team that I saw play a lot at the beginning of the year. I saw them in Charleston at the Charleston Classic, a tournament they won. They had their probably best win against Vanderbilt, another SEC team, and looked great in doing so. Really just mantled every team. Ben McCollum is a big-time head coach. Those that follow the college game and follow basketball know how good he was at Northwest Missouri State. And the guys that he brought with him, the four guys that he brought from Northwest to Drake, and just how they played all year, 30-win team, they're just a fun watch. And they're really a disciplined, fundamentally sound team. They execute at such a high level. They do not make mistakes. Obviously, they beat Kansas State here in Kansas City. What a moment that was for Bennett Sturts, a local kid who's a K-State fan. I really have so much respect for that team. But I do think in terms of the matchup, I think the matchup actually bodes well for Missouri in terms of their depth, their athleticism, their length, and just the battles that they've gone through within the SEC these last 2 months. Now, they have been a little bit up and down, and I do think it's what team are we going to see in this game pertaining to Missouri, because I know what we're going to get with Drake. They are a team that has been pretty consistent all year long. Mizzou this last, you know, 3 weeks or so, been a little bit up and down. So I do think it's, you know, a game of pace, a game of runs. What team's going to show up for Missouri? And then obviously, how are they going to handle, you know, guarding a point guard in Bennett Sturts that has just been terrific all season?
What do you make of the Kansas matchup, Jarrett? Obviously, they draw Cal, so you get two. That's the coaches bracket we've decided between Patino and Cal and Self and everything else in between. I've never been particularly impressed with Arkansas this year. Not that Kansas has done it. Is it as simple as if Hunter Dickinson plays well, they beat Arkansas, and if he doesn't, they lose?
I think Hunter Dickinson has to play well, but I think Zeke Mayo has to be just as good too. You know, I think the shot making really takes some pressure off of the offense. They need 3-point shooting in this tournament, and Zeke's got to be good. If they can get Rylan Griffin to make shots, great. You know, if A.J. Soar plays well, great. He had some good moments in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. I think the more guys you can have step up to the moment, the better the better off you are. It's always a conversation of, you know, defense travels, and, you know, that's great when you have a great defense. You know, that does bode well in March, but you also have to have an offense. You also have to be able to score the ball, and it can't just be one guy, too. I think that's something that history of the tournament shows that you need multiple pieces, and you need some depth as well to win in March. So that to me is the biggest question mark of Kansas. Can they get some production from that bench? Can Hunter play consistently? And then I think the biggest thing with Kansas is guarding the ball and getting back to being a good defense, primarily with Bill Self teams. They guard, and they guard at a high level, especially in March. And they just really haven't been doing that of late. And I think the high ball screen is going to be something to watch for with Boogie Flan coming back. I don't know what Boogie Flan will look like. He's been out since early January. Mm-hmm. So, you know, will there be some rust there? That's going to be something to watch for. I don't think Adu Tierra will play in this game. But Zvonimir Visic, DJ Wagner, Carter Knox, Trevon Brazil, they've been up and down. I agree with Cody. Like, Arkansas has been really inconsistent. But the games that they've played well, especially late in the year when they really had to win games to get in the tournament, they look good in doing so, and they did it without two of their best players. So, you know, give Cal some credit of getting this team into the tournament, because there was a time there where I thought Arkansas was flirting with, like, South Carolina levels of being one of the worst teams in the SEC, and they figured it out, and they did so without two of their best players. So it's a toss-up game. I think it's a game Kansas has, you know, every ability to win the game, but it's going to come back to, you know, can they play consistent ball, and can they play both ends of the floor in this game against Arkansas?
We're talking to Jared Sutton, former Missouri Tigers guard, current scout for the New Orleans Pelicans. When you have watched some of these top teams maybe throughout the season, out of maybe, give me the first three seed lines, I guess. Who's the most vulnerable, do you believe, even if it's one of the number one seeds?
Yeah, I mean, lots made of Auburn. Only they've played to this point over the last, I would say, 2 weeks. They have not played the dominant level of Auburn basketball we've seen for much of the year. I think St. John's as a two seed is kind of interesting because they defend so well. They got one of the best defenses in the country. But I do worry a little bit about them offensively just with the three-point shooting. They're not a great three-point shooting team, so it's something to watch for. You know, should Kansas, you know, move on and beat Arkansas, that matchup with St. John's would be really interesting in terms of matchup, especially with two coaches in Patino and Self. I think other seeds, the same thing could be said for Houston a little bit as a one seed. Out of the ones, I think Houston could be a little vulnerable in terms of the offense because they're so predicated on offensive rebounding. We know how tough they are. We know how good they are defensively. I think Milo Suzan catching fire and playing so well, that is giving me a little bit more hope with Houston because it can't just be LJ Cryer making shots. They need somebody else. So Milos, that's something that Houston has really wanted to find, is Uzan's confidence in playing better, and he's done that. So I think that's a positive for Houston. But Alabama defensively, you know, that's always something to talk about because Alabama's had some issues in terms of they can score the ball at a high level, but can they stop anybody? That would be a question mark. I like Texas Tech as a three. I was a little bit surprised to see Kentucky as a three. They have battled injuries, and they have played well of late in the SEC. They do have quality wins. I think resume-wise, I knew they would be probably a top four, top five. I was a little bit interested in where they would fall, and to have them be a three was a little bit of a surprise for me. I think Wisconsin is totally predicated on John Tajay. So if you know, Wisconsin goes where he goes, and we saw that in the Big Ten tournament when he ran out of gas, and they did battle Michigan, but that Michigan game, he had no legs. And it's a little bit different in the NCAA tournament because you can win a game, have a day off, and then you play in the round of 32, and then you have the rest of the week to get ready for the next weekend. But Tajay is the guy for Wisconsin, and if he has a 2-for-15 game, they're probably going home. So those are kind of how I view those 1-2s and 3s.
Jared Sutton, really appreciate the time, man. Safe travels. Sounds like you'll just be watching it with everybody there on the staff, but we appreciate the insight. Enjoy the tournament.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me as always.
That was Jared Sutton, former Missouri Tigers guard, current scout for the New Orleans Pelican organization, giving us some good insight on the NCAA tournament and where he's at on the draw for both Missouri and Kansas. We'll talk more specifically about those two games tomorrow. It'll be tourney time. Well, I got the TV. It's doing some update. I had to go order a new remote for the small TV. I brought it for the tournament because I lost it. So it came in this morning. I got an alert. Amazon dropped it off. So we're good to go. I'll get it set up. I'll get the YouTube TV logged in. We'll have the TV right next to us over here. We'll be good to go. There's only like two games initially during our show tomorrow. By the time we're about to sign off tomorrow, there'll be the overlap of like three or four, but I'll leave the TV up. Carrington will have it up, I'm sure, during his show too. So we'll have our March Madness set up and ready to rock and roll.
It'll be a good time tomorrow. Obviously, yeah. NCAA tournament time, tough to beat across the board. I mean, it's one of the more enjoyable because something's going to be good in it. There's just too many games. The rate is too high of games in order to do it. You already got some bets picked out?
Yeah, a couple placed. I went ahead and I told you, I think they're both locals are winning. I also think both are covering. I actually have 4.5 for Kansas, 6.5 for Missouri. Not parlayed together, separate bets.
Maybe we should parlay together, a little show fund. We like both teams to win.
Let's parlay one of our brackets totally together and see how many millions of dollars it would be for a $10 bet.
to get like the whole thing right?
Yes. No,
can't I just get the billion from... doesn't Warren Buffett offer $1 billion?
I don't know
time?
If he does that anymore. I saw on X, I saw X is doing
a trip to Mars,
a
boys.
Bracket challenge, and I think Elon is offering a trip to Mars, which I told you guys off air. It's a death sentence. I don't get to come back home. That's not winning. I go to Mars. I'm not coming back home.
He just knows that nobody's ever had a perfect bracket. Because I saw somebody like, it was like, I didn't make it a random question because it's not very good. Someone was like, would you rather have $1 million or know that you can pick the perfect bracket? I'm like, the perfect bracket. I can make way more than $1 million.
Yeah.
I can win my car from CBS and a vacation from a different spot. And, you know, whatever other millions of dollars I can put together. Are you kidding?
Seems pretty obvious.
I'll just know I can pick the perfect bracket. I was going to have to make it a number so high, Gold, that like, would you take the $100 million guaranteed and just not have to deal with it? Because the $100 million guaranteed, then you don't also be famous for the person who picked the perfect bracket. Because that's going to come with something that you don't want to deal with, right? There's a certain amount of money that I would just choose the cash, even if I thought I could get more cash by having the perfect bracket and just winning every single thing for every single company across the board. Somebody's not going to want to pay up, and I don't want to gather all those prizes. I got to get my prize from ESPN and from CBS. No, huge. Yeah,
I really don't get the Mars.
10 million or the perfect bracket? Which is it for you? 10 million flat out cash, no problem.
Yeah, 10 million.
10 million.
Okay. Yeah, 10 million. I don't get the logic on the Mars trip thing though, because I honestly, that's my prize is a trip to Mars. I'm not coming back unless I'm missing some update in technology.
I would assume you do. So if you have the best bracket, you get $100,000. If you have a perfect bracket, you get the trip to Mars. I would assume you'd get both. If you have
But I don't. $100,000 is for my family. Well, I'm never coming back.
This is where if you get to pick your trip to Mars, when I'm like 85 years old, sure, fine. You know. Fine.
You
won't make it through the flight if you're 85. What are you talking
about?
They're
going to be ejecting you out the trash chute halfway there.
Yeah. Who knows? You might not make it there anyways.
I would go to the moon. Wait. I'm with Gold there. I would go to the moon.
Yeah, well, the moon, I'm in.
If they offered me a moon trip tomorrow, I'm probably in.
I'm not going to the space station. I don't want to actually get stuck up there for 8 months. Thank goodness they're back.
That can happen on the moon, too.
Thank goodness. Yeah, but you're not. You could if you're. I'm not saying we're going to do a moon walk. We're not going to do a moon walk. We're just going to go up. Like, we're not going to do a moon walk.
If I was gone for three, no, but like, I get to do that. If I was gone for 3 months, they send me to the moon. Uh-huh. I'm going to get to walk on the moon, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Would they let me keep my job? Is my job safe?
You would keep your job.
Would I come back if I'm going to the moon?
Yeah, I think the company would. You keep your job. You wouldn't get paid while you're gone. For 3 months.
Really?
Yeah, they're not going to just pay you.
Your
job would, you'd be on leave.
Unpaid leave,
yeah. You wouldn't get to just get paid and go be gone for three months. That's a hell of a gig.
Great content. Well, me going to the moon is great for this show.
When you come back, that's why you keep your job.
Funny enough, I was just offered today to once again rappel off of Arrowhead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you guys went in?
You going to do it again?
You guys went in?
No.
No, they know. They know I don't like heights. I don't even get asked. They know I don't like heights.
I already got the like, hey, are you willing to rappel down Arrowhead again?
She knows not to ask me.
I would rather skydive than rappel off of Arrowhead, as crazy as that sounds.
Really? What? Why skydiving less scary?
I'd rather skydive than rappel.
Last 3 minutes of the show, the Coding Gold 180, are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. Explain why that would be
better. So I think the reason why is because I feel safer if you're skydiving, you're jumping with somebody who obviously knows what they're doing. You know, it's not necessarily protection, but it makes me feel
better. I'm assuming the people who put me on the rappel thing or know what they're doing.
I understand.
They check all the shackles and stuff before I push myself off the building.
Correct, but you're on your own. Like, there is a level of I'm hanging off of something. And
safety
harness.
If
this falls, it just feels... It would feel worse to me or more scary where my back is to the ground and you're going down as opposed to jumping and I can look down and actually try to... I feel like I would not be focused on enjoying the experience of rappelling Arrowhead then, and I'd enjoy skydiving more than rappelling Arrowhead.
Sounds like you guys are no. I'll get a different plus one. Sounds like you two guys are out.
Yeah, I'm a no.
Yeah,
don't you want the adrenaline rush, Gold?
No.
I'm feel alive for a minute.
I like adrenaline rush. I don't like being up that high.
But it provides. Well, yeah,
there's
sure.
Other things that provide an adrenaline rush where I don't think I'm about to die.
but maybe not as good of one, you know? I mean, the relief of when your feet touch the ground. Think about that euphoria, the dopamine rush.
I can just bet on Kansas -4.5 and have an adrenaline rush of 5 seconds to go in the game and hoping that the Arkansas doesn't hit a random layup to not cover for me. That's my adrenaline rush tomorrow.
Mm. Fair point.
I was going to use one of our drops from today, but I probably shouldn't.
Probably for the best.
You don't think so?
No.
There's a few choices there. Length alone is your ultimate weapon.
That wasn't the one I was going to use, but okay.
I mean, there's a lot of options. Thanks to Bink, by the way, for joining us earlier.
Type of guy you don't have to pull out.
Bink joined us.
Talk about an adrenaline rush.
If you missed it, 11:30, go to the 96.5thefan.com. You can catch it on the podcast page. Bink had his mock draft out for the Character Concerns podcast. Nobody does better local coverage on the podcast front than those guys over there. So if you want Chiefs-specific podcast coverage, Character Concerns got you covered.
Nick Scorton they had. Which is a new name for the Chiefs at 31.
So, out of Texas A&M, and he played at Purdue before that, and because of that, a regional scout said they reminds him of George Karloftis. I'm convinced that's the only reason why that comp exists.
I think you're right.
But the direct comp from Lance Erline was Trey Hendrickson.
It's a good name to be attached to. A
couple 17.5 sack seasons on the way.
If you're getting comp to anybody, it's a good guy to have your name with.
Yeah, high motor guy. It sounds like Nick.
Oh, we haven't had a lot of high motor references
like
yet.
It does feel like he's a high motor guy, though. Like they said, relentless. They just said he's a better natural pass rusher.
They're beyond relentless. The high motor stuff. They're going on to meaty hands and all that stuff.
They changed the language on it. The verbiage had to switch up.
Yeah.
He is a girthy lower body with big meaty hands.
I mean, if we're using girthy,
I just read the draft reports, man. That's all I do. I read the scouting analysis. Whatever terminology they use, I bring to you guys. Not my words, you know?
Those are Lance Zerlines. Must have been. Was that who it was?
Yes.
That's who it was.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're back at it tomorrow. We are going to be joined by Tim Murray from VSiN, get a betting perspective on the games. Matt Tate covers the Jayhawks. We'll give us some perspective on their game against Arkansas, and we'll bring back the snitch lunch. It'll be a really fun show tomorrow. We'll be watching games, sweating some bets. Hope you guys can join us. For now, though, we hand things off to C-Dot and Rob on the drive.